Bible.
Now say, I am.
What it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, go with me to Mark the 9th chapter
and the 23rd verse,
and John the 10th chapter
and the 10th verse.
I want to talk to you from the subject of faith for a better life.
Faith for a better life.
And God wants you to live an amazing life. How many know that?
And so, and no matter where you are today, good, bad, or indifferent,
I want you to know that better is possible.
Everybody say better,
better
is possible.
So life is choice driven.
We are where we are because of the decisions and the choices that we made in the past.
If you don't like where you are, there's no use in beating yourself up.
There's no use in, you know, just falling apart.
No use in crying over spilled milk.
It is what it is.
Isn't that right?
But the key is making better choices.
If I make better choices, it'll put me in a better place.
Are you at Mark 9 and 23?
All right. It says,
Jesus said unto him,
if thou canst believe,
if thou canst do what, class?
If thou canst believe, some things are possible.
Okay, that's why you got to read the Bible, even when the preacher's reading it. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So he didn't say some things, right?
And a lot of times as believers, we put limits on certain things.
I believe God can do this, but I don't believe he can do that.
I believe he can save me, but I don't believe he can heal me.
Or I believe he can save me, but I don't believe he can prosper me.
No, the Bible says, he says, Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe.
And so we understand that that possibilities for us are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning.
Possibilities are defined for us by the ability to be able to believe.
If we can believe, it becomes possible for us.
Everybody say, if I believe,
it's possible.
It takes the same process of faith to believe for a piece of bread as it does a loaf of bread, so you might as well believe for the loaf.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, and so when we talk about better, everybody say better, because we're talking about living a better life.
We're talking about having a higher level of satisfaction, having a higher level of productivity, having a higher level of fulfillment than you presently have.
So no matter where you are right now, you've got to understand that it's the will of God for things to get better for you.
All right, good class.
All right, John 10 and 10. Let's go to John 10 and 10.
There it is up on the screen.
Let's try this. If you're there, say I'm there.
All right, everybody in the room is there because it's on the screen, all right?
It says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Let's stop right there.
So when bad things happen, it's not God's fault.
Everybody say, when bad things happen,
it's not God's fault.
No, because a lot of times we'll blame God when somebody dies and said, he,
Jesus wanted to pick a flower, and
tell people lies to make them feel good, but that's not the truth.
You got it.
I was at a funeral.
Is this a word, co-funeraling?
I don't know if that's a word or not, but I was up there and they wanted a couple of us preachers to do it together. We were doing the funeral together.
And one preacher says, well, I'm not doing a altar call at the end because the family didn't ask for one.
I said, well, I don't preach without doing an altar call.
You got it.
And so, there was another part where, they were unsure of a few things with the person and everything and that kind of thing. And so they were trying to say, God loved him more than we did. And so God wanted him, and you've heard those kind of things. So I got up when it was my time to get up. First thing I taught him was John 10 and 10. I told him, I'm a teacher anyways, you understand? So by the time you leave even this funeral, you're going to learn something. And the first thing you're going to learn is that when bad things happen, it's not God's fault. It is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
You got it?
Jesus says, he says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it, how, class? More abundantly.
In the Amplified, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy.
I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
And so you got to understand that it is the will of God for you to live an incredible life.
It is the will of God for you to live an amazing life.
Can I give you some proof text real quick? Now I'm going to go through it kind of quick because I think I've given it to you
maybe a couple lessons ago, but the reason I like to give you proof text is because by let everything be established by, you know, a few or more witnesses, right? And so 3 John 2, we'll put it up on the screen. It says, beloved, I wish above all things, not some, so here we go again, that thou mayest prosper. So we see that in the word of God, and be in health even as thy soul prospers. See, some people just believe, you know, well, I believe he'll save me, I believe he'll heal me, but I don't believe I'm supposed to be blessed. No, you have to understand that it's all included in the package. Does that make sense? It's all included. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that through his poverty, watch this, that we might be what? Rich. The word rich just means abundantly supplied. People fall apart. Oh, I can't believe. No, no, no. You know, it just means abundantly supplied. And I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be abundantly supplied. Okay, let me just take a poll. How many would like to make sure that every month you pay all your bills and have money left over? Everybody in the room, guess what that's called? Abundantly supplied. Does that make sense? All right. Psalms 35 and 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say, how often, class? Continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So God has pleasure when we prosper. And when and you can't be narrow-minded in your thinking when you think about prosperity, because people think, he just talk about money. No, no. See, somebody taught you wrong. You got it. Prosperity is the total package. It's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. So while it does include being abundantly supplied and having more than enough money, it's having the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It's having joy unspeakable and full of glory. You understand what I'm saying? It's having an incredible marriage. It's having obedient children. You got it? You know, and so that is, it is having an attitude of faith that every day I wake up, I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in. So it is the total package. Ain't nobody like my God.
Right.
You got it? And so that's what it is. So you have to understand that from the beginning, God had you on his mind, that God is not too busy running the universe, that he is not concerned about the intricate details of your life. God is concerned about what you're concerned about. God is concerned about the things that keep you up at night. God is concerned about the things that bother you. You understand? And it's vitally important. Even if nobody else is concerned about it, you got to know that God is concerned about it. You know, I use the example sometime. You know, you call somebody and you talk to them and you say, hey, how you doing? They say, oh, I'm doing real good. How you doing? Hey, well, I'm doing good. You know, I kind of got this going on. I say, okay, well, yeah. Anyway, we going to the movie tonight? They didn't seem so concerned about what you were concerned about, but it is in those moments that you don't have to get frustrated, you don't have to get upset, you don't have to get mad at anybody, you don't have to fall out, because even when they might not be concerned, God is always concerned, and he makes a commitment that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I am going to be with you until the end. Does that make sense? So thank God that we have a risen Savior that is concerned about us. Amen. All right. And so he says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In the New Living Translation, he says to give you a future and to give you a hope. And so whether you realize it or not, God has capital B-I-G plans for you. Does that make sense? He has big plans for you. Everybody say, God has big plans for me, regardless of what I've been through or mistakes I made. God has big plans for me. Okay, we're not done. So as a matter of fact, today, God is doing something supernatural in my life just to encourage my faith and the faith of others. Now give God praise in the house. But see, you got to believe that. It's one thing to say it, you got it, but you have to really believe it. Now, typically, because the writer says we believe, therefore we speak, right? So that's what, but I had you say it, you understand? So you have to believe what you're saying, that I am in expectation that God loves me, that he's never going to change his mind about me, that he has big plans for me, and that he is going to do something supernatural in my life just to encourage my faith and to encourage somebody else's faith. You got it? Expectation is breeding grounds for miracles. What you expect, you will experience.
But let's flip that thing around. What you don't expect, you will not experience. And that's why I say, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just going to go with it. That's why I say you got to learn how to stay away from small-minded people. Well, I don't believe healing is for you. I can't help that. You got it. I don't believe prosperity. No, no, no. You have to understand that God does not need, watch this now, your experience to validate his word. His word is what it is, whether we experience it or not. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. Look at somebody say, that young man is teaching already. He's teaching already. Now, I want to give you a perspective on this better life. I want to give you a perspective on this better life. What kind of life is it? What kind of, you've been talking to me about this life, but what kind of life is it? And so the first thing it is a life without limits. It is a life without limit. There's got to be some time in your life that you have to take the lid off. You understand? You have to get up out the boat and start walking on water, keep your eyes on Jesus, and just believe. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's just at some point, we just got to believe. You know, my wife always gets on me about grammar. We must believe. You got it? We must believe that his plan is bigger than ours. We must believe his hands are bigger than ours. Does that make sense? Yeah, and at some point, we've got to believe that his word supersedes anything that's going on in my life. If God said it, hello, somebody, that's all there is to it. Isn't that right? You know, I know people say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You can really take the I believe it out because God said it and that settles it. Because what if somebody don't believe it? It still is settled. He said, forever, O Lord, is thy word. Set. Man, this preacher's preaching this morning. No, no, because you have to have a conviction. Man, I have a conviction, watch this now, that God is always going to supply my needs. Not sometimes, but he's always going to supply my needs. I have a conviction that I'm not going to be healed sometime, but I'm always going to be healed. And so if something gets on my body, I understand, watch this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. By my words, I'm justified. By my words, I'm condemned. My words are going to make me or my words are going to break me. So the moment something tries to jump on my body, I say, oh, no, devil, uh-uh. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed, right? And so you've got to understand that God said it and that settles it. So you have to have such a strong conviction of the word of God to the degree that if somebody says something that the word doesn't say, you look at them like, little meme, Kermit the Frog, on social media, when Kermit the Frog is looking at you like that, you know, and they look at it, you know, they use it for a lot of things, there's one, it was real funny, I saw it several months ago, it says the look on your face, when pastor says I'm about to close and somebody says, go ahead on pastor, keep preaching. When I say I'm about to close, I typically close, you got it. Most preachers have at least three doors they have to close by the time they get done. All right, so it's a life without limits. Go with me to Ephesians 3 and 20. Y'all getting blessed? All right, everybody say, God wants me to live a better life. Yeah, so God wants you to live a better life. And so, but that's not totally up to God. How many know you have a part to play? All right, last Sunday I really broke down the whole will of God is not automatic. I mean, we really broke that down. He needs my permission. He needs my participation for him to usher his will into my life. Isn't that right? Okay, so Ephesians 3 and 20, if you have it, say I have it. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's why it's important that you think the right thoughts. You got it? He says, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And we understand the scripture. It just teaches us simply that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of my present thinking. So whatever I'm thinking, God says, I can do that. But just so you know, I can do better than that. And then when you start learning the word and really maturing in the word and your faith goes to another level and you start believing for bigger things, God says, I can do that. But just so you know, I can do better than that. And then when you really start believing for the supernatural, you got it? Like we just confessed that we fully expect that God is doing the supernatural in our lives. You got it? Just to encourage our faith and encourage somebody else's faith. God says, I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that because I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. This is why he says, because your thinking is much lower than mine. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not mine. Mine are higher than yours. So you have a thought pattern as it relates to what you want your life to look like. God said, but I've got a thought pattern of the way I want your life to look like, because you are kings and priests. You are children of the Most High God. You've been seated in heavenly places. You understand? And whether people like it or not, when the believer looks good, we make God look good in the earth. Isn't that right? How you going to invite somebody to church and you always walking around, you got it, you know, well, how you doing? Oh, well, my back and my neck, I need to borrow some money right now, you know, but by the way, you want to come with me to church? No, because if your church can't help you get out of your situation, how are they going to help me get out of my situation? So we all just going to cry together in the same boat. You understand what I'm saying? No. So that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I was talking to a pastor the other day, and he was trying to understand, you know, how to communicate, certain things as it relates to the word of faith and, you know, those kind of things, and how God wants us to be blessed and live a prosperous life. And I told him, I said, one thing you have to understand is that when we're blessed, it sets a platform for us to unbelievers. You understand what I'm saying? Because that is the way this culture is set up. Hello, somebody. That they look up to people that have stuff. Am I telling the truth? Okay, all right. So you have to stay away from small-minded people. I get people that inbox me all the time, not necessarily that come to the church, and, you know, they want to argue with me on tithing. They want to argue with me on this, and they want to argue with me on that. Paul said, man, just avoid those people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to fight with you, because I understand that you're not going to change my mind. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm probably not going to change your mind, so I'm not going to fight. Now, if you want to come and sit and hear the word, you understand, and keep coming, you know, because you tell me, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go anywhere. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. All right. So people will impose limitations on you. And the danger of them imposing limitations is that it hinders your expectation. When your expectation has been hindered, your faith has nothing to work with. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So now when you have hindered my expectation, you have now defrauded my hope. And my thing is, who are you to tell me what I can have and cannot have, where I can go and cannot go, what I can do and cannot do? Until you make your world a man in a Bible, I'm going to stick with this one. All right, so it is a life without limits. It is a life without limits. I serve a big God, you got it, that wants to do big things in my life. It is a life without limits. All right, number two, it is a life without lack, or letter B, it is a life without lack. Every lack you have is temporary. Philippians 4:19, go with me there. Every lack you have is temporary. See, now you got to understand something. What is Matthew 9:27? It's according to your faith, be it unto you. Does that make sense? So just a moment ago, and you could have just been listening, so I'm not getting on you, but I said, every lack you have is temporary. A few people say, amen. You got it? Because what happens is we have to understand that you have to have a conviction of the word of God regardless of the situation you're going through. You have to have a conviction of the word of God, regardless of the circumstance that you may be in right now, or regardless of how bad you may feel right now, because faith has nothing to do with feelings. That's why I like to teach. You understand what I'm saying? Because faith has nothing to do with feelings. Faith has everything to do with having a conviction of the word of God. And if his word is true, it's true, whether I'm jumping up and down or just standing right here, his word is true. Isn't that right? And so you have to have a conviction of the word of God, regardless of what you're going through, because I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe, and I believe the word. Does that make sense? So let's just say you need another car, and your car is just, you know, it's smoking, you know, it's leaving a pint of oil every time it stops somewhere. You know, if so, y'all park in the grass and wait till you get another one, park around in the, we appreciate that. God bless you. Like my pastor said, much love. And so, praise the Lord. Sorry, not sorry, but anyways. But watch this. You can't not confess another car just because you have one that ain't doing good. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because watch this. Why do you say that? Because watch this. The car won't change the word, but the word of God will change the car. And if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see it manifest in my life. Can I go a little bit further? All right, let's move, like, watch this, from something that's material, and there's nothing wrong with that, but let's move to a better marriage. Let's move to a better relationship. You got it? So watch this. If I want a better marriage, if I want a better relationship, you understand, then I'm going to have to confess. We understand the ABCs of faith. We'll get into those probably next week. I've got to ask. I've got to believe. I've got to confess. I've got to demonstrate. Then I've got to walk in expectation. You understand what I'm saying? And but I've got to believe the same way I believe for salvation as I did for a better marriage. Isn't that right? And I've got to confess it, and I've got to confess the right things. I can't confess the wrong things. I can't walk out frustrated. She make me sick. You understand what I'm saying? I see y'all looking at me like you never did that. See, y'all just played me on Resurrection Sunday. Y'all just played me. I know y'all. None of y'all have ever been upset. You've never lost it in a relationship. I know you haven't. I just tell people, if we could just pull back the curtains of your life when nobody is around. Moving right along. Philippians 4:19. But Paul's talking to those that sowed into his life and ministry. So we understand there's a prerequisite. I must be a giver. He says, as a result, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. And it's important. It's according to his riches and not yours. It's according to his riches. Watch this now. In glory by Christ Jesus. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that provides. And so we must learn to trust God as our source. And so you've got to understand that his ways are bigger than our ways. His thoughts are bigger than our thoughts. And his hands are bigger than ours. Does that make sense? All right. So it's a life without limits. It's a life without lack. And then it's a life without losses. It's a life without losses. Everybody say, I always win. I mean, I believe that. I just do. I believe in every situation I can win. I mean, I'm just programmed that way. How did you get programmed that way? By the word of God. The Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how class, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, so I understand that when I first come to the knowledge of Christ, we're spirit, soul, body. You got it? We are a spirit, possess a soul, live on the inside of a physical body. My spirit man becomes alive to God. You got it? But my soul still has some working. You got it? Because if I don't renew my mind and change my way of thinking, I won't mature in my walk with the Lord. Does that make sense? Because if I was a stingy sinner and then I get saved, if I don't renew my mind, what do I become? A stingy saint. You got it? If I'm a mean sinner and I come and give my life to Christ on Sunday morning, but I don't renew my mind and change my way of thinking, what does that make me? A mean saint. And we don't need no more mean saints. Let me just look at the Bible. I'm not going to look at anybody. Just don't look at your neighbor. Look at me. Just be like, that's right, Pastor. All right? So I have to renew my... How do you renew your mind and change your way of thinking? With information and saturation. Everybody say information. And saturation. You got it? And all you need is the word of God. You got it? That's the information you need. And so the information is the word of God and saturate, because you know, right now you don't need to read a book from Dr. Phil or Oprah. You need the word of God. Because the word of God will answer any question you have and solve any problem you have. So you need information and saturation. So information is the word of God. Saturation is to saturate yourself in the word. Hear it over and over and over and over, because learning takes place through repetition. You got it? Whatever, if I keep hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word begins to shape me. Does that make sense? All right. So it's a life without limits. It's a life without lack. It's a life without losses. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So this, the writer says, I can always win when I do it God's way. I like to say if we do it God's way, we'll get God results. Right? And so the writer says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make of manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And so here it goes again. When I win in life, when I look good, I make God look good, and there's a platform for me to other people to be a witness to. Does that make sense? All right. And so that's why I tell people, you know, if you're a believer and you're walking in the word, even if you're in a situation that doesn't look, you know, ideal, don't you let the word wrong thing come out of your mouth, because you're winning even when it looks like you're losing. You got it? And so you have to have a conviction that I'm going to do it God's way. And if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. And when you're walking by faith, you have to have an attitude of faith. You got it? How many know it's going to be hard to walk in faith and be mean at the same time? Isn't that right? Yeah, it's going to be hard to do that. It's going to be hard to walk by faith fussing people out all the time. You got it? Because it doesn't mix. It doesn't match. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that faith, it works how, class? By love. So you can't be mean. You got it? And quit going on social media talking about your haters. You understand what I'm saying? Don't spend time on that. My haters this and my haters that. I'm like, will you please quit worrying about somebody else's life and start focusing on your own life? See, I didn't get a big clap, but it's okay. I brought my own clap. I brought my own hallelujah. Hallelujah, Pastor. I brought my own praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Pastor. No, I'm just saying, I'm your pastor, so I have to help you. Isn't that right? So pastor's not fussing, but I'm trying to explain to you because you're mad at somebody and you hope God get them and all those kind of things. And that is why your faith will not work. You got it? But they did me wrong. Yeah, but you got to forgive them. You got to pray for them. I know you don't want to, but the Bible says you have to. And so how many know we got to do what the Bible says do? Yeah, and so, you know, your vindication does not come at the hurt or the harm of somebody else. You got it? But God will allow them to live long enough to see you prosper. Yes, he will. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to worry about that. So don't worry about your haters, okay? Praise the Lord. So it's a life without limits. It's a life without lack. It's a life without losses. And then it is a life without loneliness. He is never going to leave me alone. He makes a promise that he is never going to leave me, that he is never going to forsake me, that he is going to be with me until the end. Now, I quoted Hebrews 13:5 in the KJV, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I want you to watch it, or I want you to look at it in the Amplified. Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified, there it is on the screen. Watch what it says. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. So there, see, we understand, you know, the balance in this. It says, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. You got it? What the writer's saying, the writer's not saying that I can't dream for more, I can't believe, I can't walk by faith, but I do need to learn how to be content in the state that I am. Does that make sense? So it's very important that if I'm in a situation, you got it, and I'm believing for a bigger situation, to be content means that I'm not mad and fussing in the situation that I'm in right now. Does that make sense? I'm so sick and tired of this. I'll be glad. No, because you're not going to get out of it like that. Does that make sense? All right, watch this. He says, for he, God himself says, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, said it three times, in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. What a promise. That no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that the creator of the universe has made a commitment to me that I will not in any way leave you helpless, relax my hold on you. He said, assuredly not. What a promise. And then Romans 8:37 says, for we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. So let's read it in the Message paraphrase. Romans 8:31. Watch what it says. Watch what it says. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? Everybody say, how can we lose? How can we lose? Look at your neighbor. Say, how can you lose? I mean, if God is on your side, you got it. And he saw nothing and said, let there be light, and light showed up. How can you lose? If God did not hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Everybody say, that's me right there. That's me. Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. The writer says, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? He said, there is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing. He said, not even the worst sin listed in Scripture. He says, they kill us in cold blood because they hate you. He said, we're sitting ducks and they pick us off one by one. But he said, none of this phases us, watch this, because of Jesus' love for us. I love what Paul says. He says, I am absolutely convinced that nothing living, that nothing dead, that nothing angelic, that nothing demonic, that nothing today, that nothing tomorrow, that nothing high, that nothing low, that nothing thinkable, that nothing unthinkable. He says, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our master, embraced us. We can't lose. We cannot lose. Everybody say, I can't lose. I mean, you have to have a, I cannot lose. Listen, losing for me is impossible. If I live by faith, if I serve God, it's impossible. We like to say, if you stay in the fight, you'll win. We like to say, if you keep swinging, you're going to hit something. I don't know if you all have heard my story before of when I was a little boy and got in a fight. Best way to close on Resurrection Sunday, when I was a little boy, got in a fight, right? But we have, I know we have visitors, so everybody hadn't heard my story. So that gives me the right to tell it again. So I was a little boy, and as you can see, I'm a big, tall, robust guy. What are y'all laughing at? And so I'd get picked on in school and that kind of thing. And so one time I was in school, I was in middle school, and these kids were just picking on me. And finally, I just got so upset. And I said some stuff, and I don't even know what I said. You know, it was probably not much. Man, won't you leave me alone, man? You know, and just kind of went off. And I think it shocked everybody. And so so when we were leaving school, there's these deep steps. So you have to walk down all these steps. Make a left, I go to the block, make a left, and then I have to walk all the way down. And, you know, it's kind of a ways to walk home. And so I make this left, and I see this big crowd. And so I'm wondering, you know, man, I wonder what that big crowd is. You know, I got to walk that way anyway, so I'm going to go see what the big crowd is all about. You got it? And so I get to the crowd, and they grab me, and they throw me inside the circle. Little did I know the crowd was waiting on me. And when I get in the circle, it was, watch this, it was the guy that I told off earlier that day. And at that moment, I felt like I had an outer body experience. Like I was outside of myself looking at me like, oh boy. And I remember this guy. This guy was dancing around, you know, and, you know, just, he was having a good time. And it was just so many, it was too many people for me. People everywhere. You know, y'all know I tried to get up out of there, right? I tried to run, you know, and they threw me back in, you know, and that kind of thing. And so bottom line is, I really don't know what happened. The dude hit me. I hit the floor. And I get up wondering what was going on. You got it? Now, this, you know, my sister Vicky was there, and she says she don't remember this, but I'm telling you, when I got up, everybody was eating brownies. I don't know why everybody was eating brownies, but I promise you, I told her, she's like, Jim, they were not, I'm telling you, somebody must have had a birthday, and they brought brownies, and it was left over, but I know what I saw, everybody was eating brownies. That's my story, I'm sticking to it. So I go home, you know, my dad gets on me. My dad's a real big guy, and so he gets on me, and I don't know why I got a spanking that day. I already got beat one time. I don't need to get beat another time. And so I remember my dad, whenever he would spank us, you know, he would always tell us stuff like, I'm doing this because I love you. I did not feel the love at that moment. And so, you know, he sits me there, and I remember he's just a boisterous kind of guy anyway. So he's up there and he's talking to me about don't let anybody do that to me again. And he's taking his hands and he's balling them up. Now, granted, his hands are 18 times bigger than mine. You got it. And so if I could borrow yours, I'd be all right. You understand? And so so he said, man, so my dad told me, he said, he actually told me a couple things, but one of the things he told me, I'll save that for another story. One of the things he told me, he said, you take your hands like this and put your head down. He said, you just keep swinging.
And he's doing like this. And today I can see that. That's what's amazing to me. And he says, if you keep swinging, eventually you'll hit something. So, you know, I said, okay, you know, no problem. I'm just glad 2 beatings in one day, the day is over. I'm ready to go to bed, start fresh tomorrow. Brand new day, brand new mercies, right? And so, you know, I go to school. I'm not bothering nobody. I ain't saying nothing to anybody. I just want to get through the day, you understand what I'm saying, and go home. So I didn't bother. I saw them. They was laughing at me. I don't care. Laugh. Do what you want. It's your world. I'm just living in it. You understand? And so I'm coming down the steps. I go to the corner. I look left, and guess what I saw? You already know. The big crowd. And I was like, man, because I thought about going the other way. You know, but I realized every day I run from that crowd's always going to be there. And so you have to learn this in life. Some things you just got to hit head on. Yeah, you know, I just learned that in life. Some things you just got to hit head on, you know, and trust God. And so I go to the crowd. I wasn't happy about it. You got it. I go to the crowd, and they throw me in, and everybody. Now, I didn't see any brownies this day. You got it. But everybody, you know. And the guys dancing around. So this is exactly what I did. I went right into the corner. He was on that side. I got all the way I could across from him. I put my head down, and I did like this, and I was doing like that. Joe, were you there? Because I don't remember you being there. You weren't there that day? Okay. All right. Joe, you know, Joe was my promoter. Because I remember Joe had gotten on the bus one day before I got to, this is another school, and the boy was talking junk. I don't know if you remember that. I think big tall boy named Kenny. And he's like, when my brother get on this bus, he gonna beat you down. So then I get on the bus, you know, ready to fight. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know I was ready to fight. So I get in there and I put my head down, and the dude is way on the other side, right? So I'm like this. Everybody is laughing at me. But my father told me that if you put your head down and you know, and you keep swinging, eventually you'll hit something. So, I think my eyes are closed too. And I'm like, so, why my wife laughing at me like that? So, let me tell y'all. Because my eyes were closed, I don't know exactly what happened. But I hit him, and he hit the ground. The level of confidence that I had after that, I was like, first I couldn't believe it. I was like making sure he was down. I was like, yeah, tell your friends about me. That lasted all of a half of a second. I was like, I better get my books and get up out of here. Why did I tell you that? Because in life, you will face challenges. In life, you will face tough stuff. In life, you will face circumstances that are really hard. But I'm here to tell you that in life, if you will learn just to keep swinging, if you will learn to stay in faith, if you will learn to keep saying what the word says, if you will learn just to pick up your head even when you feel like picking it down, if you'll learn to keep coming to church even when you feel like don't come to church, if you learn to keep lifting your hands when you feel like don't lift your hand, if you keep swinging, eventually you're going to hit something. If you keep swinging, I know you're laughing at me, but it's okay. I'm transparent and I ain't got no problem with it. But if you keep swinging, eventually you're going to hit something. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.